Hello, all. It's Blonde Haired Girl. It's the early morning on a significant day in my life, as it's one of my children's birthday. I was figuring that since I can't sleep, I thought I would pop on. As I'm wondering about some of my really, really faithful followers or listeners are probably wondering, where the hell is she? She's been gone forever. and I have to tell you, I think the biggest obstacle in my life right now that I am facing is really job related. I am dreaming about my job. I am living my job and dreaming about my job when I'm not living my job. What does that mean? I'm like, oh my God. So I do have some updates, and that is that my time at the other part of the hospital is days away, and I will be moving back to where I was actually hired to be, in the less acute, more long-term, a lot of the time calmer part of the hospital. Not that I'm ever completely off guard. I'm pretty guarded all the time. But in the part of the hospital that I'm in right now, I am extremely guarded. I'm like trying to remember how many all staffs we had this week, just this week. An all staff is called when a client is really having a hard time regulating and they need more help. They need a show of support, and that is a whole lot of people. Because when a person needs some more help regulating, which is primarily to ask them to take a PRN, a sedative, for their dysregulation, and they will call an all staff when somebody is refusing to take that initially. They usually don't call all staffs unless they've already tried, exhausted their resources and are going, oh, you know, now what do I do? Well, I call for a show of support. It is more rare to have to transport someone to a isolation type of situation for their safety and the safety of everyone there. That doesn't happen as often, but most people, when they see all these, all the people that that are there for help to help, they're like, oh crap, maybe I better take the medicine. But I ended my day yesterday, very late. I had a whole lot of paperwork to do yesterday. I worked really hard on completing a bunch of paperwork, and I ended up having an all staff. There was an all staff right before I left, which I just felt so incredibly sad for this person. As they sat and just wept, just feeling so the mood, and she was just so exacerbated by everything. It was just, she was just done. And, I just could have so much compassion for her and so much understanding, and sometimes it's really challenging for me to not cry when I see a person who is really, really struggling to this degree. But I have to remain very professional. It doesn't help a person, you know, if, you know, the person who's there to help regulate them starts to cry, I mean, that's not going to work. But I can't say that there aren't times where I get in my car and want to cry still. And so I've been, it's been just a combo of my job and my, also my own practice and just continuing with my own practices. And the last few days I've just felt so, I don't know what the word is. Like it's not even discouraged. It's just, I just this utter feeling of, I don't know, maybe burnout. I just can't with the trying. The, you know, I was, you know, in my sleeplessness, I was thinking about, you know, what Einstein supposedly said, maybe he did. I haven't read the works of Einstein, but that to do something over and over again and expect a different result is the definition of insanity. So what does that mean for people like me who are practicing? I was thinking about, okay, so a soccer player practices over and over and over and over and over the same thing over and over again. Yeah, they may be tweaking it. They may be coached to use a different part of their foot. They may be this, that, but they're still, you know, I mean, maybe it's not the exact same thing they're doing over and over again, but, and it's like, I just, I don't know what to do. I can't not live. Okay, so I'm living and I'm practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. And, you know, and I just, I don't know. I've just hit a point where I'm so tired of all of it. I was in Barnes & Noble last weekend and I found this book that I think I might buy. I absolutely loved it. It was just kind of one of these like quirky little, it was a picture book and it had like a, it was like this, the unaffirming affirmations. And I picked it up and read enough to know that I think I'd like to buy it. I think I might buy it and take it to my work as just a joke, but keep it close by because this guy who created this book said that he, I think he said, I don't quote me, that he's written at least 7 novels that have done nothing. And that he, like me, I could understand the just, I'm just so done. It's like, don't, it's like nobody even tell me. Don't give me any tips. Don't, you know, everyone just don't bother with me because I just can't with all of this, this, you know, just keep going jargon. You know, I guess I'm, it's just on my, on the algorithm, is that what they call it? That I get so much of this information and, you know, about people and a whole lot of it, I'm not really sure. I don't know why I choose to listen to one person over another. I guess I just get some sense of I might trust this person over another person. And I cannot tell you why that would be. But you know, and some things about what people say, I try, like, I tend to listen to a person like Louise Hay. And the reason why I listen to a person like Louise Hay is because of her life and what she did with her life. and I'm writing her book and creating a very large, I'm always surprised when people don't know what Hay House is or they don't know who Louise Hay is. I was like, how could you not know who Louise Hay is? You know, I don't say that, but I certainly am thinking it. I'm like, what? You don't know who Louise Hay is? But I had come across one of her where she said, all is well. All is well, and the universe is working everything out to my highest good. And so that is an affirmation that I would be likely to use because of who she is. And if that was an affirmation that worked for her, then I'm going to try it. But a lot of these, you know, I don't know, I just get so tired and just in my own life. And I know, you know, so I'm in the weekend, and the weekends are better for me to focus on my life and creating. I have goals for this year. I know it's March. I have goals for this year, and I'm just waiting. I'm still doing the edits on this book. I'm just having a really hard time getting through it. I hate to say this out loud, but I'm just so tired of looking at the same thing over and over again. I really am. Just like, I can't bear this book another minute. It's not that it's my book. It's like, what is that saying? But I don't expect people to read my book over and over again. But I just can't with these edits. I don't know. I was under this delusion that I would like send this book to someone and they would edit it. No, that's not what they did. They sent it back to me with things that I had to do. And then I hear this other information about don't go through KDP for anything, which is the publishing portion of Amazon. And I wanted to use them to format my book, not necessarily edit it, but format it. That's all that. But so yesterday I had this thing happen, and this is being fairly transparent and being more open than I normally am about something in my life that I have had in my life. Somebody in my circle, in my very, very close circle, is, thanks God, I'm really, really grateful that this person is reaching out and open enough to at least let me know that is having suicidal ideology. I'm just going to call it SI because I will say that word wrong 15 times if I have to say the whole thing. And it happened last evening, not this evening, or not the, it's like the night before Friday, so Thursday night, the 21st, I was having a conversation with this person, and they had been doing better for, I don't know, about 3 weeks. They had been doing better, and then this thing had happened, and they ended up getting with somebody else in a really scary way, and have started to do that with people, some of their friends, sharing scary things, and so I don't know why this time this time I couldn't pick up on, something had kind of switched, and I even when I got off the phone, I was in just such a state of, the only word I can say is grief. And it was partly, I wasn't really getting the gist of it, but this year, around this time, is always really challenging for me because I had a nephew pass away on the 22nd of March, which happened to be one of my niece's birthday. And so it was like a really significant day in our family, this happy, sad, you know, it's very strange how that happened. I mean, I remember having this fleeting thought when my nephew was actively dying. I hope he doesn't die on that day. And he died on that day. I just like, what? It's so weird. Passed out of this life. And so all these things, I mean, and I forced myself out of bed yesterday. And after having very little sleep, like I just was in just a state of utter, like my body was just like so shut down. And I really didn't, I had a lot to do at work, and I didn't want to use my time off for that. And so I forced myself to get out of bed and go do what I needed to do yesterday. And as I was at work, I had to do this assessment on one of our clients who is actively having SI, who is at our facility because of trying to harm theirself. Actually, I have a couple of clients right at this moment who are here or were at the facility because they had done something, harmed themselves. And so I had this conversation with both of them that I'm going to share with you right now. I'm one of these people that I'm very... And I believe it to be true that it does not increase the chance of a person harming themselves by asking them these questions. I guess I'm trained in like crisis type of stuff, and I just come right out with it. You know, are you having any thoughts of harming or killing yourself? I mean, I'll just come right out with the question, and then, you know, depending on what they say, you know, then I'm okay. Do you have any plan? But it was easy with these two individuals that I'm working with right now to not necessarily, I didn't have to ask those questions. I already knew. So we got to talking about, you know, that, a little bit about that and just what are they going to do when they get out and this happens again? Because it almost most assuredly will. You know, I mean, we rely very heavily on medications for people with active suicidal ideation. But what about the mental part of it? The mental thoughts, you know, and so I got to talking to this person yesterday, and I said, I was trying to see, you know, because she was talking about a lot of things, and she was talking about things that I have in my own life that I totally understood what she was saying. You know, she was saying, I've been through like 20 jobs in the last 2 years, and I can't stay because I'm afraid that they know who I am and that I'm, you know, that I've done all these things, you know. And it's like I'm sitting there, and I totally understood what she was saying, but I what I was really trying to hit home was, is there any way that we could take off the table to end your life? Can we take that thought? Can we take that one off the table? And how do we do that? We can deal with other things later. But it's like in tackling this thought, and if we figure out how to tackle this thought, then we can deal with other ones. And so she and I got to talking, and it's like I was talking and thinking, you know, about how sometimes, you know, in my own life, when a thought comes up, it's like I just say, even in my own mind, I say, you know, stop. No. I'm not doing this right now. I'm not indulging you. No. I'm not going down that road. I know where that road leads, and I'm not going down that road. It's like, no, I'm okay. And then it pops back up. Okay, no, we're not doing this. It's like mental discipline. And it is very, very challenging in the beginning, you know. You know, and then I got to talking to her about, okay, so what is the prevailing thought? And we were using, just as an example, the prevailing thought is that I suck. Okay, so I suck, and then we squeeze it out all the juice out of it. You know, oh my God, look at all this stuff I did. You know, and I did this and this, and you know, and I'm just a terrible person, and everyone in my life would just be better off without me. Okay, you know, we're not going down that road. So the thought comes in, I suck, and then I was like, okay, I don't always suck. Like interrupting that thought. I mean, nobody always sucks. I mean, I don't always suck. You know, so that's a better thought. You know, sometimes I don't suck. Okay, that's better. You know, sometimes I have lots of friends. Okay, that's better. I've had a lot of good times in my life. Okay, that's better. And practicing, going back to my initial thing, practicing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But this is practicing for a different result, a different thought. And so my hope is that when these individuals get out and they start in their life again, that they will remember the conversation that I'm having with them. I mean, they might not, but this particular individual that I was talking to yesterday seems hellbound determined to change her life. I mean, she has a determination that is just amazing to change her life. And she has a lot of support. A lot of support of a family, a boyfriend, children. I mean, she has a lot of people around her that love her and support her, as evidenced by when I went into her room, she had this very lovely blanket on her bed that her mother had brought her. I don't see that every day. Not every client that comes into a mental hospital has family for support. And outcomes are greatly improved if an individual has support. And so I'm going to go to my own practice. So the other night when I was really in despair and like not doing well, I could feel myself, you know, going down the hill, the snowball getting bigger and turning into this big hairy deal. And I thought of the words of Louise Hay, And I just thought, all is well. And even if I didn't believe it fully in the moment, I just kept saying, all is well, and the universe is working everything out for my highest good. All is well. All is well with me. Everything's going to work out. I may not know how, but I know it will work out. And the weirdest thing happened. As soon as I started I don't necessarily pray. I'm not a praying type of person, but I am a communicating with Source, God, the divine. The second I started to reach out, I got a text that was very affirming and reinforcing of a shift in that situation with this person in my life who has suicidal ideation. And so I just wanted to share that. I would hope that people would reach out when they're feeling bad, and maybe they feel like I've reached out too many times to my loved ones, but there's all kinds of 988. There are hotlines that people can call to make that choice instead of going down a road that is really horrible for the people who are left. It's just horrible for the people who are left. I mean, they are changed, irreparably changed. Anyway, that's a really happy note, isn't it? This could be the reason why I feel like... So I'm hoping to have a really good weekend, and I am not feeling suicidal. I just want to say that I am not. I plan to be here for many years, and I have my coping skills. Although I will tell you, working in a mental hospital can really mess you up. It is really hard to stay in a sane place when you're working around just this level of lower feelings, hatred and despair and hopelessness, and you know, it is really challenging. But I suppose it's rewarding because I hope that I am making a difference. But anyway, I appreciate you listening, and I will be back with other ideas. And that's a wrap.